Thank you so much for the rich teaching that we're getting and for your presence, for your glory, Lord. We thank you that you're training us in what it means to be a team ministry, a cluster of grapes, and what it means to come forth with the new wine. Our hearts long for the new wine. We desire it, Lord. So we ask that you continue to pour it forth in this conference in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, so I have notes for you also, so we'll pass those out. And my topic is understanding the baptism in the body. Amen. So on your notes, you're going to see this is called the overlooked baptism. And in a way, we're kind of doctrinally backtracking a little bit here, because all weekend we've been talking about team ministry, what it means to be as the cluster, coaching teams, all of these things. But one of the fundamental issues that we have begun to notice is that in order to really, in the house of God, be able to functionally be a part of a team, you really do need to receive the third baptism, which is the baptism into the body of Christ. So this is very foundational, and if it has not occurred in a person's life, in the same way that if they have not been regenerated, amen, if they haven't been born again, then they're not going to be capable of doing certain things because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. If they have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then they're going to have a problem, right? Because they have not received the empowering of the Holy Ghost to be able to do certain things. And the third one there, the baptism in the body, if they have not been baptized in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, then they're not going to be able to be a good team minister. They have to experience all three baptisms. As you know, in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it talks about foundations. Amen? Yep. And the writer says, let's not lay again the foundations. Let's move on into maturity. Amen? But he says, well, what are those foundations? And of course, the first one is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Okay, that's your regeneration. That's salvation, isn't it? All right? And then he says, and of the doctrines of baptisms, plural. Yes. And so when we look in the New Testament, we see that there are several baptisms. That's why he wrote it plural. Water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and baptism into the body. Now, there's some mentions of even some others, like the baptism of John and so on. That one is no longer relevant, is it? Because that got replaced when Jesus went to the cross. So that's kind of rolled into the repentance part. Amen? But if you'll notice on your notes, you'll see there that each baptism affects a specific work in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you've got the baptism, you've got the baptizer, and you have the element into which they're being baptized. And baptizo there in the Greek means to be submerged or immersed in something for religious purposes. So with water baptism, that little chart, you'll see, well, the baptizer is usually a fellow minister. It's often your pastor, amen? What is the element? What are they being submerged into?
Water,
okay. So it is a water baptism. They are being immersed or submerged under the water, right, for the cutting away or circumcision of the flesh, right? And then when they rise up, what is that? That's resurrection, amen? They're receiving the resurrection life power of Jesus in their regeneration. So that's a covenant sealing of their regeneration experience. Look at the next one, the Holy Spirit baptism. So who's the baptizer?
Jesus,
right? He's that was prophesied of him, amen? The one that's coming after me is Jesus, and what? He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, amen? The fire of the Holy Ghost. What are you being immersed into? What are you being submerged into with the baptism? The Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Godhead, amen? So you're being immersed into the Holy Spirit, completely inundated, completely saturated by the Holy Spirit. And this is where he comes to indwell. Amen. All right. So before we'd receive the seed of Christ through the Holy Spirit, now we're receiving the person of the Holy Spirit remaining, amen, in us with the power of the Holy Ghost. The third one, the baptism in the body, this is the forgotten one. And too many churches just don't even teach this anymore. It's really sad. So let's look at this. We know that in 1 Corinthians 12:13 it says this, "For one by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, bond or free, whether we've been made to drink." We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. So the baptizer is whom? Holy Spirit. Yeah. "For by one Spirit we are all" what? So the work is now being done. The baptizing is being done by the third person, the Holy Spirit, okay? And who is the element? What is the element you're being baptized into?
The body of Christ.
Each other. Yes, the body of Christ. You are being baptized, immersed into your brothers and your sisters. That is the element. This is just not understood by about 80% of the churches out there. And so they're trying to create some kind of unity, some kind of care for one another, some kind of working of the Holy Spirit in the realm of body ministry and togetherness, and it's just not happening. And part of the problem is that the culture that we live in today doesn't really promote this mindset. This can only happen by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is the baptizer.
Right.
So we need all three foundational baptisms. And we're trying to build churches. You know, Paul called himself a master builder as an apostle. But he said, look, first you've got to have a foundation.
Yes.
So, of course, the cornerstone of the foundation is Jesus, right? Okay? He's the chief cornerstone. And our faith in him, amen, is the foundation or the very beginning. But then he says, you've got to build a foundation on that cornerstone. And it is these three baptisms, okay? As well as he's adds some other things there in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. But he says you got to start with a foundation. If you have not received all three baptisms, you're going to have a very difficult time building further maturity, yeah, which is one of the things that we're talking about here in this conference. Amen? Okay, so as it says on your notes there, it says these three baptisms represent a progressive deepening work of the sanctification and holiness in the life of a believer. One of the things about being baptized into one another, into the body of Christ, okay, into the many-membered body, is that our identity begins to change, okay? So rather than identifying any longer with the world and the things of the world, and I don't necessarily even mean sin, I just mean a carnality, I just mean the secular world. Amen? So just identifying with what our life was before in the secular world, we begin to identify in holiness with the body of Christ. And that's a whole new identity. It's a whole new family. How many of you know all of your families are unique, right? There isn't another family like yours. There isn't. Yours is completely unique. You put together those two personalities of a mom and a dad, and you produce this, which is absolutely unique. And all of our church families are unique. And it's God who sets us into them. Amen? So as we're baptized into the body, we are separated from the world. We get that beautiful spirit of not division, but separation. Amen? The Holy Spirit comes and separates. It's the enemy who comes to divide, right? But Holy Spirit comes and he separates us out of the world. And he says, I want you to begin to identify with this particular family. And he'll set you into a local church. Amen. And we've already heard very beautifully this weekend about the fivefold ministry that ministered to us out of that local church and out of that apostolic covering that that local church is under. Amen. Okay, so baptism in the body, you receive a new identity. We identify with the family of God, the church, as we disengage from our worldliness, okay? Romans 12, 5, what does he say? So we, being many, are one body in Christ. We're baptized into one body in Christ. And everyone, look at this, members one of another. You become members of each other in the body of Christ. And this is mystical, isn't it? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it yourself. And so when we're pastoring churches and looking at the members of the body, oftentimes you'll notice there are those that, there's the stragglers, you know, they kind of stand on the outskirts. They have a hard time just getting into the thick of things. And you encourage them and, you know, why don't you come to this Bible study? Or why don't you come to this fellowship? Or why don't you come to this prayer meeting or something? They don't come. They haven't been baptized in the body yet. They don't understand that they're members of you. We're all members of what? One another, it says. So yes, we're relating to Christ. We're relating to the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we're also relating to each other. And this is the priestly ministry. Remember that the priestly ministry, which we are called to, is an L shape. Amen. So it's vertical. We're relating to God in the heavens, amen? But it's also then that which flows through us, we are relating to one another. And this takes a baptism in order to learn how to do this. It takes the empowering baptism that the Holy Spirit works in us, amen, in order to do this. I want to look there, about two-thirds down, it says, discerning the Lord's body. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. And it's powerful. Paul has been teaching here to the church in Corinth. Of course, this was a Greek church, right? So you're going to have mostly heathen people. And there were Greek Jews that were in this church, both, all right? But they had a lot of issues. And so he's teaching them about this process of the baptism in the body. And he begins with talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion. And there in 1 Corinthians 11, 29 through 30, he says, "For he that eats and drinks of this communion table unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." What a powerful, not discerning. Now he's talking to the church. These are all Christians. But he's saying you can get into a state where you're not cognizant of who these people are that you're with, that they are part of the Lord's body. Amen. They're part of Jesus's body, the body of Jesus. Doesn't have a body on earth anymore. He's in heaven. He took his body to heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father on the throne now in his body. Amen. So as far as the earth goes, that's it. The physical body of Jesus is now you and me. Yes. Amen? Yes. And he as the head is working through each of us. And we have to learn how to actually coordinate the workings of each part of the body. Yes. And he says here, Paul says this. He says it takes a discernment in order to get this truth. Because this is a mystical body. Now, we understand that there is the universal body of Christ, amen? So you're talking about all the Christians all over the world who are fully born again and regenerated, right? All the real local churches, Bible-believing local churches, amen? We're talking about saints that went before us. We're talking about saints that'll come after us, amen? So people who lived in other generations and so. These scriptures here in 1 Corinthians, they're not about that. They're about the local church. The more you read this, you're going to see he's talking very practically about how we relate to one another. So he's correcting them and he's saying, well, look, you guys, you come to the Lord's Supper, these love feasts they would have, which included the Eucharist. And he says, you know, some of you come in and just start pigging down on the food. Have you ever noticed even in the churches it's like that? Yeah. We have a beautiful spread. We had it last night. There's certain people that are always first in line. And they just load their plate. They're not looking at and going, okay, how much food is here? How many people are here? Maybe I should only take this much. But they just load. They're just unaware of everybody else. They are not discerning the body. They don't discern the body of Christ. They don't see the rest of the saints as equal to them, as important as they are, right? We just pig down and then you run out of food. The little guy, that's the last guy back there, you know, he gets the leftover shreds of salad. That's what's left, right? The fried chicken is gone, you know. Yeah, no, it's, and every church has that. Well, they had that in Corinth. And he says, you guys come together to eat of the Lord's Supper. And when we come to the holy table of the Lord, so the part where we break the bread and we share the cup of the covenant of Jesus' blood, he says this is a very holy thing that unites us together in a mystical, spiritual way. Now, I'm not Catholic. I'm not talking about, what do they call that?
Transubstantiation.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit, amen, as he knits our hearts together and causes this discerning of the body. Yes. He says, for this cause, look at this, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have even died. Look at that. This thing of being baptized in the body, yes, and discerning your placement and honoring one another, amen, he says is so important that half the time that we're sick or even that some people in your church have died is because they did not discern the body. In other words, it's the same thing as if I cut off my little finger and threw it on the floor, that finger would die, right? Yeah. It might be okay for a few minutes. I might even be able to grab it and run to the hospital and they could sew it back on real fast if I got reconnected really quick. Yeah. But he's saying this, you have cut yourself off from one another. Don't get all spooky and say it's me and God. It's not. It's you and your brothers and sisters.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And he says we have to have a real relationship and a real love connection with one another.
Amen.
And he says as you have that, amen, it causes health to flow into you, this particular member. We heard it, our teaching this morning with Joe, you know, you're either an ear or you're an eye or you're a hand or you're a foot. But we cannot say, I have no need of you.
Yes.
And if we do that, he says, you'll end up sick.
Yes.
And some of you will even die. And have. Apparently, this is in the past tense. Apparently, this church, Paul is discerning and saying, some of you have died. Because you did not discern your brothers and sisters. You were not baptized into each other by the Holy Spirit. So he says, number one, we've got to do that. Now that's 1 Corinthians 11. So he's talking about the baptism in the body, this third baptism. Then 1 Corinthians 12, he says, now let's talk about how this works. And he talks about the many-membered body and all the nine gifts of the Spirit and how they all flow together and so on. And then he gets to 1 Corinthians 13 and talks about love. Amen. And now the foundation of the baptism in the body is love, right?
Yeah.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So as he baptizes us into one another, he teaches us and puts in us a love for one another. Amen. And that is, it's kind of a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we learn to love in the context of the local church, not some mystical thing that you're reading a book about, not something that you get over the internet. It's real, physical. We come together, amen, and our spirits blend together, amen, and we bring that together into the house of the Lord. And we learn love, what? By having to be patient with each other, having to listen to one another. We've heard a lot about listening this weekend, amen. You know what, if you get on an internet thing and you just turn it on, you know what I do? They start talking about blah, blah, oh, I've kind of heard that. And I just take my little thing at the bottom and move it forward, you know? I mean, well, is that good listening?
Yeah.
Not really. I'll listen to what I want to listen to, and you know? You can't get any of that just over a screen. And half the church is withdrawn since COVID, and they're just all on a screen in their pajamas. Isn't that prophetic that they're in their pajamas going to church? Talk about you need to wake up. You're actually going to church in your sleep clothing. You know, like you're prophesying to yourself in your sleeping garb. Yeah, it's really ridiculous, you know. It's get up. put on a decent outfit and go to the house of God and rub shoulders with your brothers and sisters, yeah, because you are baptized into them, not into a screen.
Yeah. That's it.
Good.
For by one electronic circuit are we all baptized into one computer. It doesn't say that. You know what? We have noticed.
And I am of microphone.
Yes, and I am of Apple, you know. But she is of Google. You know. There's just too much division in the body. You know, we've noticed this in our church over the years. We've been pastoring, well, in next year, a year from March, it'll be 50 years officially. So, yeah. Yeah, praise God. Amen. But one thing we've noticed over the years is that people who just come to everything, they're always there pretty much. They don't seem to get sick much. Have you all noticed that? And they don't. If they do get something, it's not. They'll be healed very quickly, because they're baptized in the body. They can draw from the strength of the richness that's running through the bloodstream of the body. Amen. Amen. And it comes into them, and they get this regular the vitamins and the minerals and all the goodies that are in the bloodstream of the body of Christ. And there is no other way to get it except physically to be together. That's the only way. And we've already heard about what that was. You know, we talked about praying together, worshiping together, reading our Bibles, studying, coming to a Bible study together, and fellowshipping together. Amen. And we need all of those things. But it makes us actually physically healthy. We've noticed almost without exception, people start missing. You know, we say if you have something that's not contagious, real badly contagious, or even if you're just sort of pat, you don't have a fever anymore, maybe you still have a lingering little cough, come to church. Just come. It's all right. You know, we're not very afraid of diseases. No. We've got to cut that out. Yeah. Amen. That's just not biblical. That came in and it really multiplied after COVID. You notice now everybody's just afraid of a cold.
Yep.
You know, get that out of the church. Just that's got to go. Amen.
Amen.
So he says, for this reason, what is the reason? He says, because you're not discerning the body of Christ. Yeah. And this is a work of the baptism in the body that the Holy Spirit gives us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we show that we're aware of the importance and sanctity of the Lord's body, which is the church, when we do these things. Number one, 1 Corinthians 12:21. I won't take time to turn to it. We've had some reference to it already in this conference. We acknowledge our need of one another. So we heard that. There it is. You can't say to your brother or your sister, I have no need of you. And that the Lord did this on purpose. You know, there's a teaching out there right now that I've heard in a number of churches where they say, well, everybody in the body, all of you who are spirit-filled, you can have all 9 gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that, does it? It says, no, the Holy Spirit gives them, not you.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't pick them. He gives them to you, and he gives them severally as he will, all right? And we heard this morning, well, why is that? So that we will need each other. If you have all 9 gifts of the Spirit, you sure don't need me.
Right.
If you have all 5-fold ministry, you sure don't need me or Sister Sylvia. I've heard that one too. It's just like, this is for everybody. It is not. And the scriptures don't teach that because we are a body. So then we don't say, I have no need of thee. Amen. Or I'm so mature now that I don't need anyone else.
Yeah.
We never get there. Paul wasn't there.
Nope.
He said, well, I wish I had attained unto this, but I'm not saying that I have.
Right.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
It was like, no, I need the body. I need all of you, right?
Yeah.
I'm still, Paul was a part, a member of the church in Antioch. He was sent out from Antioch. Amen? He wasn't just out some loose apostle prophet guy wandering around. You know, receive me, I'm really anointed. It was... It's like, well, who sent you? Where are you from? No, he was sent by that church. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so we acknowledge our need. Well, one way you can not acknowledge your need of each other is to not come.
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's what you are saying. When you do not show up at church, what you are saying to that body is, I have no need of you.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
This is just kind of optional.
Make it plain.
So, you know, I'm just not coming. You know, Have you seen those t-shirts that say, "Sorry I'm late, I didn't really want to be here"? You know?
No, I never saw.
You know? Well, we kind of get that, though, in the body of Christ. Have you noticed the people that are perpetually late, you know? And it's kind of like, I kind of really didn't want to be here. You know, I have no need of you. That's immaturity, isn't it, in the body, right? And God's calling us beyond that. He's saying, no, I want you to mature. Amen? So part of maturity is beginning to acknowledge that, listen, I'm not going to make it without you any more than your liver can make it without your kidney. Your kidney can't make it without your bile ducts and your bladder and everything. I mean, we all need all of the parts. We're not going to make it otherwise. And it's arrogance to think that we can. Yeah. We just cannot. Yeah. So, yes, acknowledging our need and reducing that independent spirit that's so strong in the United States of America, isn't it? That's in our culture. We were all raised with that in the United States. So it doesn't belong in the church. There's parts of that that are wonderful in the government and so on, but in the church it doesn't belong there. Amen. We have need of each other. Number two there, same thing in 2 Corinthians 12:25. Have concern and care. No, that's still 1 Corinthians. You can change that in your notes. It says the body, you know, as they meet together, he says, if one suffers, we suffer with them. Yeah. See, he's not talking about a weird mystical thing. You can't suffer with somebody. You can empathize somewhat with someone who lived 1,200 years ago. But you can't truly suffer and weep with them. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He says he's talking about real stuff. Okay, you went to church and you found out that your friend's husband got COVID or something, and she can't be there, and she's grieving and trying to take care of him. And you said, "Man, let's pray together," because you're empathizing. I'm thinking, well, if that were my husband, I'd be worried, you know, and concerned and so on. And so we stand with each other, right? And we have real concern. He says, if they've got something happy happening, they rejoice together, yeah. Right? What did James say? Is, you know, is anything good happening to you? Well, then rejoice and let's sing psalms, right? You know, do you have a need? Well, then get together and pray, yes. Right? Pray for each other. It's very real, wasn't it? Okay. So he says there's real, genuine concern and care. Do you really care about people in your local church? One way you'll know is if you actually pray for them. Do you go home and just think about them when you're home? You know, if we go back to our own natural life and we don't hardly think about anybody in our local church, it's just me and my little family. You know, because family is just a way of worshiping yourself almost, okay? They're connected, they're part of you, it's part of ego, sort of. So don't even count your family. But it's like, what about their family? Yeah. What about that kid at school in your local church is having a hard time? Do you pray for them? Does the thought even go through your mind? Good. So it's genuine. That will happen with the baptism in the body. We'll find ourselves starting to really think about good. Each other and each other. And you want to call them. And you want, I do love having text messaging because it's efficient. I can quickly check up on somebody. Yeah. Like, are you any better today? Are you okay? What do you need? Do we need to come over? What's, you know, do we need to send somebody over? What do we need here, right? Number three, Galatians 5:13, but by love, he says, serve one another. Amen. And John 13:35, they'll know that you're Christians. Your love for one another, meaning the church, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. One thing I don't care about, or care for, I should say, is, you know, if you read, for instance, all those scriptures in 1 John about love, he's talking about love of the brethren. The context is the local church.
That's right.
And people like to universalize that and just talk about this general love that we have for mankind, kind of. And which is legitimate, too. I mean, yes, we want to love one another regardless. But those love scriptures, they're all in the context of the local church. Right. And he says this. He comes right out and says, listen, if you can't love these people that you see in front of you, that you're... then how can you say you love God who you can't see? Yeah. Or love a universal church or universal mankind or whatever you're claiming you love who you can't see? Yeah. He says it doesn't work that way. So it starts with the love of the brothers and the sisters who you are baptized or immersed into, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So those three things really are signs, amen?
Nice.
I also have the 2G sign at the bottom of your notes there. The 2G sign of this baptism. The 2Gs, what are they? Gathering and giving. Say them with me. Gathering and giving. Those are the 2G signs. Those are outward signs. So if they're not faithfully gathering, Hebrews 10:25, and I mean physically gathering, we you know, during COVID, we had for a little while, we had a Zoom thing going in our church for some people who, you know, said, well, we can't come. What are we? By the way, we never closed our doors, always met through all of COVID. Got in a little bit of trouble with the sheriffs, but they were very understanding by the Holy Ghost. We had good sheriffs in Goleta, so they didn't shut us down or anything. We were able to never miss a meeting. And it wasn't just the worship team. The people came. But there were a handful that were for whatever reason. And so so we started this Zoom thing, and that didn't last too long. I mean, we did that for maybe a couple of months or something. And then we found that there were people who perfectly had been coming who it was like, oh, we can stay home and just watch on the internet, you know.
Yeah.
We cut it off. It's like, get rid of that,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, get rid of that. You guys come to church. Yes. Gathering is part of it, and it must be physical. All right, you must physically gather. All right, so we don't forsake the gathering of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together. He says, as is the habit of some people. So they had that problem back then, didn't they? Okay, this is nothing new. And the other one is giving, all right? 2 Corinthians 8, 6 through 13. We can look at that one real fast. We have a few minutes. What do I have, a couple minutes left?
3:38.
Okay, we're good. All right. Amen. 2 Corinthians. And he says, he's exhorting the church. He says, we urge Titus to come to you. In verse 7, he says, now you excel in everything, faith, speech, knowledge, all diligence in your love for us, meaning the love for the apostles that were serving them. He says, also excel in this act of grace. I'm not saying this as a command, but rather by means of diligence of others, I'm testing the genuineness of your love. Look at this. The testing of the genuineness of your being baptized into one another, into the body of Christ as a whole. And he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty and you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving advice because it is profitable for you. See, giving is profitable for you, all right? And he's talking about financial giving, all right? Who began last year not only to do something, but also to what? To want to do it. Now also finish this task so that just as there was an eager desire, there may also be a completion according to what you have. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable. Verse 13, it is not that there should be relief for others and hardship for you. He's not saying give so much that it's a hardship for you. You know, he says, make sure you're taken care of. But he says, it's a question of equality, all right? So he's talking about them giving and continuing to give into the need that they had here, the collection. And this is a sign, he says, of your love.
Yeah.
It's showing, is your love genuine?
Yeah.
So we heard in the last session, look at the checkbook, you know? Look at the credit card. See if there's giving going on. If there's not, and there's not tithing going on, there's a problem with the heart. That's always going to be the case. There's an issue. And people say, well, I don't have that much, or I'm on Social Security. Or what? We're on Social Security. You give out of your Social Security.
Amen?
Amen? Whatever is your increase, whatever's coming in, you give. Amen? And at least 10%, we give. Hallelujah. And that's the best, isn't it? It's the best way to be. So the 2Gs, the gathering, if they're not gathering and they're not giving, then they're not baptized in the body. Okay, and they need to go back to the foundation and let the Holy Spirit do, which means you need to take these notes and teach them, right? Brother, sister, you need the baptism in the body. It's the third baptism. Close with 2 Peter 2:10. Peter said this. He said, in the past times, You were not a people, but you have now become the people of God. And he was talking about the royal priesthood, the holy nation. Remember that passage? There's a whole study on this. You can go all the way back, starting with the patriarchs, starting with Noah, going through Abraham and all the Isaac, Jacob, and so on. And their worship was individualistic. They built altars, and it was me and God, me and God, me and God. And God came in the time of Moses under the Mosaic covenant and changed that and said, now I'm going to give you instructions on something called a tabernacle, a place for the whole body, all 12 tribes, to come and to gather and worship God. And I'm going to also give you a priesthood that's going to begin to minister. Amen. And the people had a hard time becoming a people. See, they were very tribal. It's like, well, I'm of Judah, and I'm of Levi, and I'm of Naphtali, and I'm of Asher, whatever. They were not a people yet. Yeah. And you know what? God is still trying to get us to be a people.
Oh, yeah.
Not a just person. Me. How many Christians do you know that are like that? It's just, well, it's me and Holy Ghost. By the way, I like to say the Holy Spirit, which is how Paul says it, how Peter said it, how Jesus said it. Amen. It's not his name. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just me and Holy Ghost, and we're buddies. It's like, nah. You are not yet a people then. But Peter said we were going to become, we are becoming the people of God. Amen. And this is done by the baptism in the body. Amen. So we need to understand that and to teach it. Amen. God bless you. And we're going to turn it over to our Sister Sylvia. Amen. Amen.